Maybe if I step back here. Jim, you go ahead and click the slide if you want to. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8 tonight for our lesson. And I think you'll see why I had Jim lead that song here as soon as you read the text. Matthew 8, chapter 23 through 27, it says, "He stepped into a boat, and his disciples followed. And behold, a great storm arose on the lake, so that the boat was covered by the waves. However, Jesus was sleeping. And they went and awoke, begging, 'Lord, save us. We are going to perish.' He asked, 'Why are you afraid? Your faith is weak.' He arose and commanded the winds and the sea, and a great calm came. And the men were astonished, saying, 'What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" I'm going to turn that over. Just so I can see it over here.
Now, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight, I want you to notice in that text is, Jesus has just got done healing and teaching and preaching. And he just steps onto a boat and just boom, they just follow him, you know. Not knowing exactly what's going to happen and where they're going to go. When I go on a trip, I don't know about anybody else, but I like to have a GPS. Usually I've got the GPS in the car and she's got the GPS on her phone. And, you know, we just kind of like to know where we're going so we don't get lost, you know. So, you know, they just jump in the boat and, you know what, I hope our faith is the same. That day after day, that we just hop in the boat with Jesus, so to speak, and we just go, knowing that He's going to lead the way, and He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to abandon us, and He is going to protect us. But the other thing I always think too is, how could Jesus sleep through a storm? I ask that question, but then how many times have you gotten up in the morning and you see that the pavement's wet outside? And you go, "Did it rain last night?" And somebody like in my family would be one of the kids or something. Like, "Yeah, it stormed. It was lightning. It was thundering all night long." It's like, I must have just slept right through it. So it is possible for somebody to sleep and rocking on a boat. I don't know. Was anybody here in the Navy by any chance? You were in the Navy. So you slept on a boat, right? So you're out in the, we're out in the middle of the ocean, I'm assuming, at times. Okay. Did you get accustomed to being able to sleep with all that rocking back and forth? You didn't have a choice, did you? Didn't have a choice. So I imagine you might have slept through a storm or two, so you can see how it's certainly possible to do that. And when you get to the end of the text, I don't know, this is just me, I don't know if we get a full comprehension of what it meant when Jesus said, like in the song, we're going to use the words the song said, is "Peace be still." It's not as if all of a sudden, like it does here, you know, you can see the storm coming. It's thundering, it's lightning, it's raining. And then once the storm gets past, it quits raining, and it goes to like a drizzle. But then, what can you still hear off in the distance? You can still hear it as it passes you. You can still see the lightning, you can still see the thunder, okay? Because that's how we're accustomed to seeing storms in. But you have to understand that when Jesus steps out onto that boat and he says, "Peace be still," I mean, it is instantaneous, okay? As quickly as that storm came upon them, because you find out in the text, it came upon them rather quickly, just like that, it was over at his command. It just didn't gradually come to an end. And it still leaves those people, those men on that boat, asking themselves, "Who is this guy? You know, who is this guy?" Now he's not just teaching and preaching and healing people, because they've seen how great of a speaker he is. They've seen how great of a teacher he is. They've seen that he can heal diseases and he has power over that. But now he's got power over the physical elements of the world. You know, he can control the weather. But as much as, like we said there at the beginning, that they follow him into that boat, do you ever think that maybe Jesus is leading them into that storm? Now, why do I say that? Because we know that Jesus is God being a man, correct? So he knows exactly where they're going. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And these men didn't do anything at all to cause the storm. They didn't do anything to deserve to be in the storm, but there they are. They made the decision to follow Jesus, and they're right there in the storm with him. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that Jesus is constantly leading us into storms. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to remember that if everything in our spiritual lives is always fair weather, how in the world are we ever going to know how strong our boat is? To use the analogy here. We're not. Sometimes He does lead us into storms and into troubles. Because how else are we going to be able to figure out what our weaknesses are in this life? Because if we know what our weaknesses are, then what can we do with them? Cast them over to Jesus. Let Him take care of it. That's all we can do. Or how can we grow in faith if everything is just smooth sailing all the time? And the answer is we won't. If our relationship with God never gets stretched almost to its breaking point, almost to its breaking point, to its limit, we're never going to find out how much deeper our relationship with God can be and how much closer we can get to God as well. And another thing you think about is that if Jesus had just stopped and was a great speaker and a great teacher and, hey, He could heal sickness, what would that have said about Him? To these men, they had to find out just exactly the width, the breadth, and the depth of control that Jesus had. They had to learn that in all aspects of life, from sickness and death and health and life and the elements and the wind and the rain and all of those things, He had to demonstrate to them that He had full power and full control over all of those things, because He is all powerful and He is the Son of God. And they needed to see that. And so Jesus does allow things to happen to us sometimes, and they do come out of nowhere, just like this storm did. You see, at verse 24, that's what it says. It says, behold, and exclamation point, behold. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. And immediately, you know, most of the time we have warnings when storms are coming. You know, we've all gotten, some of us have apps on our phone, you know, it tells us exactly what's coming, when it's coming, and it's going to arrive in 10 minutes. You know, we get a lot of advance warning so that we can prepare for it. But does sickness ever give you any indication that it's coming on? Occasionally it will, okay? Because sometimes, I mean, I know my body well enough to know that something just doesn't quite feel right. But really, all in all, sickness can come upon you just like that, and it can overtake your whole family. I read of close friends of ours. They've got this stomach bug thing, and they've been fighting it on and off. They've just been passing it around for 3 weeks, you know, and that's just how quickly things can get you down. Or maybe we've got a financial problem that comes upon us from time to time that we don't see coming. Or we've had an accident, or worse yet, maybe somebody we know has been diagnosed with cancer, you know. All those things can come upon us just at a moment's notice. And it's only natural to say, what did I do? You know, what did I do maybe to deserve this? But that's not the right question to ask, because it's nothing that we did. You know, when we make the decision to follow Jesus, He doesn't promise us fair weather all the time. He doesn't promise us clear skies all the time. There's going to be storms. But if you look at the disciples, they didn't go looking anywhere else for the answer other than Jesus, because Jesus was right there with them. And the question becomes, are we going to look to Jesus when storms and trials come upon us? Or are we going to look everywhere else first? Jesus should always be the first place that you look for the answers to life's troubles and life's storms. Because you see, that thing you have to remember is, you remember how many of the disciples were fishermen? At least four of them that we know of. Peter, James, John, Andrew. Okay, they were all fishermen by trade. So this isn't the first time they've got caught on a lake in the middle of a storm before. So they've seen it happen before. And you can bet that they've probably been trained how to do things to minimize the damage to their boat. So what does that tell you about this storm? That they come running downstairs below deck where Jesus is sleeping. What's that tell you? That tells you that this is such a great storm that you can't even comprehend it, that this is nothing like they've ever seen before. This is something they couldn't handle on their own, because if it was just a few waves crashing into the boat with their training and things, they could just get through that just smooth sailing, you know. But it had to be bad enough for them to run down there where Jesus was sleeping. Because you understand that this is early in Matthew's gospel here that he's writing. Now, I know Matthew doesn't go chronologically, but you find out from his little timeline of events here that this is really the first time that they've ever really undergone any kind of calamity. This is their first real test of their faith. Up until this point, they've seen Jesus preach and they've seen him teach. They've seen him heal sickness and disease. But it's not until they get to this point do they really realize how much they have to rely upon Jesus for their own safety and for their own well-being. So they go and they run and they ask Jesus for help. And so this time is a test of their faith, and it's pretty easy when you just get to follow some guy around that's pretty popular and you get to see him perform all the miracles that he does. But now it's time to quote-unquote put their money where their mouth is. Do they really know who they're dealing with? And the other interesting thing too is that, you know, today, like on those Navy ships, not sure how it was back then, but now, well, I'm pointing to you, back when you were in the Navy, you know, you had the ability to probably see when storms were coming, right? Okay, so what'd you do? Did you sail right through them, or did you try to go around them as best you could?
Right through.
Did you go through them? Okay, well, that's cool. All right, I'll use that as my second example. All right, now, I've been on cruise ships before, and if they run into any kind of weather, they always try to sail around it the best they can. But in this instance, how are you going to know what kind of sailor you are unless you're tested and you sail right through that storm? You know? You're never going to know how strong your relationship is with God until someone or something tries to rip you away from God. Not until you go through that storm. Because one thing that is true while they're on that boat, you can bet that there's chaos. Chaos all around them. If they are trying to minimize the impact of the ship, I'm sure they're screaming and hollering about anything that they can do to try to minimize the damage to that boat. Because, I mean, they're in danger of being ripped to shreds. Let's face it. And it's one thing for there to be chaos, but it's a completely different story altogether when it's so chaotic around you that you have no control over what's happening. And they don't have any control of what's going on in the storm. And the same thing applies to us too. If you can see here, I'm going back and forth between our physical story and our spiritual lives, okay? I hope you picked up on that. We're not really in control of anything that happens to us here. We're really not. And there's nothing you can do about it, and it teaches you to be completely dependent. Either you're completely dependent upon other people to help deliver you, or you're completely dependent upon Jesus. It's kind of like that story about the guy that's stuck on the top of the house and the floodwaters are rising, right? Yeah, I can't remember the rest of the story, but the story is he turns away two boats and a helicopter, and he was praying for help the whole time, and he dies, he gets to heaven, and he gets up there and he says, "I told you to send me help." He said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter," you know, because he was that confident God was going to save him. But God uses men and women, God uses people to deliver you from certain situations. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like me personally. I got on an airplane, I've been on an airplane one time in my life, and that was absolutely the most terrifying experience of all. And I had no, because you know what it was? I had no control over it whatsoever. You know, if I was flying the plane, I'd be just fine. You know, but I'm having to rely upon that guy up there in the cockpit to not crash this plane, or if something happens, to get us back on the ground safely. You know? But the disciples had the advantage of Jesus was just a deck below. You know? And really, he's not that far from me and you, period, in any situation. You know, it's easy for us to sometimes we get caught in these situations where we're going through a troubled time and we're trying to deal with it on our own, and our thoughts automatically go to, why is this happening to us? And it might seem like to us that Jesus is just sitting there and he doesn't care. Or it seems like maybe he's asleep down there on that lower deck and he doesn't care whatsoever. Maybe it's because Jesus is wanting you to come wake him up. You ever think about that? Maybe it's on you to go wake him up and say, "Lord, I need help." Because he does care. Maybe he's just waiting for you to actually fully surrender to him. Maybe in the times past, because it just kind of seems like no matter what situations we get into, no matter how many times God has delivered us in the past, I'm kind of skipping ahead in my sermon a little bit, but no matter how many times it seems like God's delivered us in the past from some of the trials, temptations, things that have come our way, why do we forget about those times he's delivered us so easily when the next one comes up? Well, because we do it, you know, let's face it. We do it. You know, we're not made, human beings, we're not made to handle this life on our own. You know, we need each other, and we need Jesus. We're not made to do this Christianity thing by ourselves. That's why Jesus left us as an example. That's why Jesus left us his the gift of the Holy Spirit. And these men go down there, and you can imagine. Now, I'm sure it's not just when you wake your kids up in the morning. Sometimes it depends on how big of a hurry you're in. You know, if you're up early enough, you stick your head in the door, Brian, it's time to wake up. You know, wake up. You know, and you might have to do that two or three more times. You know, but you have to imagine under the stress that they're under, that they're like running, Lord, help, save us now. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you, if you're on that ship and you know you're about to die, and what little bit of faith that you do have knows that that guy down there on the lower deck can help you? Of course you're going to go running down there. It's a life or death situation. So Jesus wakes up then and he says, why is your faith so weak? That's what Hugo McCoy said, right? He says, your faith is weak. Other translations, oh ye of little faith. It's like, why is your faith weak? I mean, I'm right here, you know. And that's the same thing he tells us too. Like, I'm right here. Being alone in any kind of a storm is terrible. But you got to know that you're not alone at any time, anywhere. Just like Jesus was on the boat, he's with us. Every hour, every minute of every day, and every second of our lives. And you remember that when that storm's raging and your boat's being battered and it's in danger of falling apart, because it could be sudden, you have to remember that Jesus is always right there. Because the problem that we run into is when we try to deal with our own problems, something's got to give. You know, if we're in this storm that we're in and we're trying to deal with it on our own, it can affect our wives, it can affect our children, it can affect our jobs. But something's got to give. Something's going to break. Like I said, it might be you, it might be your wife, it might be any of those things. Why not just let Jesus handle it before something has to break? Don't deal with it until something breaks. Just give it all to Jesus first. Because the solution to any problem that we face in this life, we know, is Jesus. Sometimes I think we fear, in certain situations I think we fear, because we know we need divine help. We know we are in over our heads, dealing with something that without the saving divine power of Jesus, we're going to perish. But you also have to remember too that without divine intervention, we would die in our sins too. So divine intervention, whether you believe whether it's taking place now or not, I hope you do, you know. I'm not sitting here questioning anybody's faith, that's not what I'm saying. But as much as divine intervention was required for us to be brought back into relationship with God, that same divine intervention goes on in our lives day in and day out in our walk with God. And in what little bit of tiny faith those disciples had, they went downstairs and they woke Jesus up. Now, is our faith bigger than that? I'd like to think so. You know, my go-to statement is always, the Bible never quantifies how much faith you have to have. We have the example here where he says, your faith is weak. Then we have the example of the centurion. The centurion's son was sick. Comes to Jesus. He says, if you just say the word, I know he's going to be better. And Jesus turns around to the multitude of people following him and says, not in all of Israel have I seen such great faith. So from the great faith of the centurion all the way down to the little faith that these disciples had when they went down and they woke Jesus up. Just have faith. That's it. Go wake Jesus up from down below deck when he's down there. Wake him up. Tell him to save you. Because he can and he will deliver you from whatever it is that you're facing. We know life's not always rosy. But also, like Jim says a lot, and it's true up here when he speaks too, it's real easy to forget about God when things are going well. But thank Him for the times that are good. Thank Him for the times when things aren't so good. Because those things come along in your life to teach you something. It's either to teach you something. Well, it is. Let's face it, it's a fact. It's to teach you to rely upon Him more. I don't doubt that at all. It's to teach you to rely upon Him more because the end result will be a closer relationship with God. If we let the littlest things keep us from worshiping Him here on Sundays and Wednesdays, if we let the littlest things get in the way of us being able to get closer to Him, that's on us. We've got to make the decision to be closer to Him. Because that's what He wants for each and every one of us. We know He wants nothing but the best for us as His children. He wants us to be in a relationship with His Father who is in heaven. He wants us to carry out His will on this earth. I could go on and on and on. Okay? This is the last point I'm going to make. We often think that Jesus' mission is somehow totally different from ours. It is in the fact that He was the Son of God. Don't get me wrong, He went to a cross. But the bottom line is, what did Jesus come to this earth to do? To do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what are we supposed to do as Christians? Do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And we'll be called His children. Tonight, if there's anything we can help you with, once again, if you're not where you want to be in a relationship with God, if there is something that has come upon you, a struggle or a storm, if you will, as we've talked about tonight, and maybe it's you're finding it hard to understand why you're where you're at right now, we can help you with that too, to be a source of strength. Like I said before, we're not made to do this alone. We can't bear all these burdens of life alone. We need each other. And that'll be my lesson in 2 weeks when I preach again. We're going to talk about how we need each other. So tonight, whatever your need might be, you can make the need known as we stand and sing our invitation song led by Brother Jim.